Well, some interesting figures coming out suggesting that population growth is in fact on the decline in many regional areas across the country. However, that is being buoyed by the fact that many migrants are moving into some of our regional areas, replacing those who are homegrown as they leave and move on to other areas. To talk about some of the implications from that, he is the General Manager of the Regional Australia Institute. His name is Kim Horton. Good morning, Kim. What impact from your point of view is seeing migrants moving into some of our regional areas that are in decline?
Oh, g'day, Mark. Look, it's an interesting one. I think there's often a perception that, you know, the inland parts of Australia are sort of losing people to the edges, you know? And that hasn't quite been borne out in the last census. In fact, our sort of rural and remote areas are holding population pretty steady, which is good news for them because, we don't want too many more ghost towns out there than there already are. One of the drivers of that is we looked at all the local government areas across the country and we found that there's 151 of them where the Australian-born population's actually gone down while the overseas-born population's gone up. So a lot of these are smaller communities, a lot of these are inland places, and it looks to us as though that ability to maintain a viable community is partly being supported by these increasing numbers of international migrants.
So I guess if we look at those communities, why are people leaving them to begin with?
There's long-term trends. I mean, our agriculture is getting more productive, so there's much less agricultural labour than there was. So if it's a rural or an agricultural area, it's interesting for me as a bit of a number nerd that, you know, we can actually see the peaks and troughs in the mining boom in the census data this time around too. So we know that there was a big flood of people into where the work was in those peak times of the mining boom. That's turned, and a lot of people have left there because those particular short-term opportunities are gone. And then we've got other things like, you know, there's gradual regional parts of Australia are considerably older than the coastal areas. There's a general drift of young people to the cities and a sort of partly a drift back of older people doing a sort of tree change or sea change into the country areas, which makes their populations on average older, which means their birth rates are lower, which means their sort of populations are generally lucky if they're staying stable. A number of drivers there.
Okay, so that's all very interesting. But if we've got a lot of migrants that are moving into those areas, is it a general mix age-wise? Is it younger, families, older? What are we sort of seeing trend-wise there?
It's big mix. It's a really good point. It's a mix in terms of where they're coming from, English-speaking countries or other places, ages, and also the skills too. And I've got to say, it's not really what we're saying is not. It's not just about refugees. It's about other migrants who've come. The largest sort of groups in terms of if we look in the Hunter, the largest groups of people born overseas are predominantly miles ahead of people from England and the Kiwis, of course. So they're everywhere. And they're a big part of our communities. We've got some places in the Hunter that have got a sort of a sizable number of people from India, perhaps, or Germany or the Philippines is sort of in there as well. And that matches the pattern across the broad part of the country. And then you get these nice little places, funny little towns who need a, you know, there's a funny thing in regional communities where it's often hard to get people to work in jobs that are seen as being a bit difficult or a bit low level. So pickers, harvesters, it's hard. Also, you know, abattoirs, poultry processing places. So there's communities that have really had to reach out into migrant communities to bring in that sort of low and semi-skilled labour force. On the other side of it, of course, is the difficulty retaining doctors, nurses and to some extent teachers. And a lot of those are coming from overseas now as well.
So most of the people in those, shall we say, high-skilled vocations, they're sticking pretty much to the coast, to the cities, to some of those more younger-type areas as opposed to going inland.
Yeah, that's right. And particularly if they're Australian-born, they're very much focused on the cities. And what we see is a gradual sort of shifting, I think, of the people who are providing those high-level professional services. They're becoming more... more of those are becoming people settling from overseas.
Kim, I think I've got a way we can solve that problem.
Excellent.
I've figured it out. I've just come to me now. Great idea. We can rerun the entire 14 seasons of A Country Practice. Everyone want to go bush again.
Yeah, there's lots of there are small towns who are really worried about that stuff. You might have heard of some other places. I'm not sure if there's one in the Hunter, but places offering a block of land for a dollar, you know, and a sort of fairly desperate bid to get people to come and live there. A Country Practice would be also a sort of fairly desperate measure. I think, I mean, it looks good as far as that community building stuff, but you'd want to have some other things on offer as well, I think.
I don't know. I thought it was a great show, but a block of land for a dollar, that sounds pretty nice, Kim. That's got us all interested, considering how much it costs to buy land here in the Hunter and, of course, in Sydney, where you're based as well. Thank you so much for your time with us this morning.
Pleasure, Mike.
Anytime. He is the General Manager of Regional Australia Institute, Kim Horton, talking with us about the mix that's happening in many rural parts of the country at the moment.